you that I have an anxiety issue?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Kind, The Creative, and The Chaotic. I hope you're all feeling splendid. I'm Kelly Jade, your host and creator of the show, and I'm joined by Wayne Naylor.
Hey.
How has your week been?
It's been cool.
Yeah? Have you seen any good films recently? Inspiring ones?
I don't know. January is a bit of a weird one because you're getting a lot of the awards films and stuff that I missed from last year, so it was very much sort of catching up and stuff like that. Funnily enough, it's the first time I've started a year for films and got on a 5-star film, which was The Favourite.
Oh, I still need to see that.
It's amazing.
That's the one with Emma Stone and
Olivia Colman, yes. And Rachel Weisz. Great film. But recently I saw a film called Instant Family.
I think I might have heard of this.
Yeah, it's Mark Wahlberg and Rose Byrne. By the way, if you don't know who Rose Byrne is, she's in Bridesmaids. She's a new friend of the bride, who's sort of the rival of Kristen Wiig. Rose Byrne is great in everything she does. She's one of the best actresses currently working today. She doesn't get enough films. She doesn't get enough credit. She's underrated. She is amazing.
You sound like Respect me talking her. About Robert Sheehan.
Yeah. I stand her hard. You know? But Instant Family, I was surprised. It's a really good film. It's okay. Really heartfelt. I cried.
Oh, during wow.
it at one point. Like, it's really well made. I was just very impressed with it. So yeah. Awesome. Check it out.
Another thing, are you still doing your blog?
I've not touched it in a little while, actually.
What's a little while?
Let's say a couple months.
Okay.
Because I did one post. I've not actually shared it with anyone, so
okay.
A lot of people listen to this is like, it's gonna be the first time anyone really heard about it, because apart from some people I know, no one else really knows it exists. But one day I'll share it to the rest of the world.
Well, get going on it, and then I can tell everybody about it, and they can go and have a read.
Yeah.
They can listen to you at the same time through the headphones, as well as reading the work you create.
Yeah, I will say that, like, when I do start doing it properly, it's going to be a lot of blogging about just the films I love that I don't feel like I get respect, and...
Sounds great.
But it's just going to get into real ranty positions where it's just like, listen, MacGruber is one of the greatest films of all time. You know, I love Hot Rod. The Lonely Island are amazing.
Hot Rod.
No? Why don't we respect the work of Kurosawa? Actually, no, we do. Kurosawa is a great director.
Awesome.
But more people should know about him.
Mm.
No?
Yeah, I agree.
Yes.
Yeah. Talking of awesome, I love my segways. Is this a segway?
Yes, segway.
Isn't that the thing that people climb on and ride around on Barcelona Beach?
Yeah.
Is that Sedgway?
No, that is a Segway.
So what did I just use?
No, what you're saying is a Segway as well. They're both the same.
They're called the same thing?
Yeah. Although, funny enough, the guy who created Segway, he died. Like, I think he had like a heart attack on one and like rode up a cliff.
No, don't laugh. He's not. That's so sad. Oh my God.
It's not funny, but it kind of is at the same time.
It's just very Family Guy, isn't it?
Yeah.
But
I remember but his death was very much involved with the Segways. It's just like, that's hilarious.
Okay, let's move on swiftly. So, as I said before, talking of awesome, it leads me on to our guest on today's show. She is a TV and radio presenter whose past interviews include the likes of Kelly from Stereophonics. She has her own weekly show on Boogaloo Radio, and she's most definitely one of the most in-demand DJs of the moment, playing gigs like Isle of Wight Festival, plus many a packed arena. Please give a very warm welcome to the badass that is Katie Owen.
Oh, thank you for that intro. I love that.
It was good, wasn't it?
Made me very happy.
How are you feeling today?
Well, everyone heard my story about the rat. I'm all right if anyone wants to hear about my story.
Yeah.
Said it about a million times now to every person I see. The other night I was sleeping in my bed innocently and 2 o'clock in the morning I was wrestling. I think to myself, don't, it's nothing, just ignore it. So I ran to turn the light on and a rat or a mouse, I don't know what it was, ran from under the bed and jumped at me. So I have been traumatised ever since, and I haven't really slept properly. So I'm as good as it can get, considering there's a rat somewhere.
I mean, thank you for coming to join me and Wayne after your nightmare.
It's nice to be out of the flat.
Any time away is good time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right, I can't wait till I see like videos on your Instagram of you battling.
Well, I've got one on my phone already with a pair of scissors in my hand and a metal pole I've gone and equipped. I'm like, come on,
Wayne,
fight me in.
Yes. You could turn this into one of your films.
You I could.
Girl versus rat.
Yeah. I'm getting ideas.
Get a little ninja outfit, I'll be straight back in there.
I know you have a very busy schedule. Are you doing anything else, Fab, today after the podcast?
So I'm doing my show on Boogaloo Radio 8 till 10.
Nice.
And I've got Nadia Shea coming on, an artist from Spain.
From Spain?
Yeah, she lives in London now, but she's Spanish. And she can sing in like Spanish. And I love shows as a social media post in Spanish and English, which I think is quite interesting.
Yeah.
So she's coming on for a chat and acoustic set. And then I'm DJing in Nambuca for This Feeling's Unsung Heroes.
Nice.
Which is an exhibition about photographers in the industry who like, don't get paid and just do it for pure love for music and stuff. So it's an exhibition to all their work for charity.
That's cool.
So I'm DJing that afterwards as well.
Amazing. I do love Nambuca.
I've got very dodgy memories in there of me playing up.
Yeah, I think I have as well, actually.
I think everyone's right in Nambuca once.
Something about Nambuca. Definitely. In the name. You've never been to Nambuca, have you, Wayne?
No.
Probably for the best.
Okay.
One time I was DJing and I lost my phone. Went to the toilet, lost my phone completely. I had a random search party of girls looking for my phone. I couldn't find it, panicking. Went for a wee an hour later, looked in the toilet and it was my phone. I dropped my phone down the toilet.
Oh, but had other people use the toilet?
I hope not.
Did you fish it out?
I did.
Oh, did you wash your hands?
Yeah, it's lived. I've cleaned the phone, don't worry, I've cleaned it and I've washed my hands. But
what did you do? Did you put it in rice?
No, it was fine. I think they waterproofed the iPhone X.
Wow.
Because it was down there for a good hour.
Wow, that's a good advertisement. Apple, hit me up.
Hit me up. Nothing else on it, nothing. Just, yeah.
Oh.
And I did clean it, I did like proper thing.
Okay, good. That makes me very happy.
And it did happen about 9-10 months ago, so it has.
Okay. It's been through the wars, though.
It has. I'm surprised it's you to tell the tale.
So, talking of telling tales.
I like the little links you're doing.
I know, I'm quite good.
I love them.
let's begin our Katie Owen journey. So how did all of this get started? Have you always been a creative, like creating your own shows on and off camera and things like that?
So I studied musical theatre in college because I wanted to be an actress.
Yeah.
So I did singing, dancing and acting, but I can't sing or dance to save my life. I remember my dance teacher would say, "You look like a dancer, but you're not a dancer." And I was like, "Oh, thanks,
damn.
Really."
That's pretty harsh. Well, yeah. There's a constructive criticism there. That's just
I'm quite flattered, but I'm quite insulted as well. So I wanted to be an actress. So I've always been quite creative, loved music, that kind of stuff, brought up with music.
Yeah.
But I didn't go. I got into uni, but I didn't go. I just worked for a year for Pretty Green.
Me and Gallagher's
Clover Make. And then my dad used to DJ, and then one day he was like, "Oh, I'm too old to DJ. Do you want to take over from me?"
Really?
And I was like, yeah. So he gave me all his CDs, and I used to DJ for This Feeling in Cardiff, but I never DJed. They didn't have decks. So I just played my Spotify playlist. Just go there and play my Spotify playlist. And then one day the owner was like, "Oh, do you want to do Isle of Wight Festival?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "Yeah, do it." But then I thought, I have no experience of DJing. I play my Spotify playlist. I don't know what I'm doing. Why have I said yes? So I got there with my CDs, didn't have a clue how to DJ. Said to someone, "Can you recap me quickly just to thing?" I had to completely wing it.
Oh, wow.
But I completely wing it. And then I moved to Greece, moved to Greece 2 days later to DJ in an indie bar.
Nice.
Got out there, didn't have a job planned. Went into the indie club, met the owner, and he was Welsh.
Oh,
so
nice.
So he was like, "Oh, you're Welsh." So, but he was like, "Oh, we've got a DJ at the moment, but you can play like once a week and work behind the bar as well."
Oh.
So I lived in Greece for the summer.
Pretty cool.
Then I came back to Why Not Festival, and then I moved to London.
Amazing. And so you said your dad gave you all of his CDs. So I'm guessing you were brought up around like a lot of rock and roll stuff because you really know that kind of music well.
So he's more into Northern Soul, the Beatles, like mod kind of stuff. And then my stepmum's very much ska music, funk, Northern Soul. My mum then loves indie, like she's massive into Oasis, Kasabian, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But my dad was telling me a story from parents' evening. He went into the class and they'd written down, we'd written their favourite artists when we were like 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. And everyone written like Spice Girls and I'd written Kasabian. And he was like, oh, I'd play.
I think that sums you up pretty well. Yeah.
So yeah, being brought up on like Kasabian, the Beatles, the Who, the Kinks, all that kind of stuff.
Amazing.
From the get-go kind of thing.
That's really cool.
Thank you.
So with your, you know, you went and you completely just, what did you say, winged it. Were you nervous? The idea of that like terrifies me, but you just kind of use the adrenaline and just go, I'm just going to do it.
I've only since I've moved to London, I've become stressed and stuff, I think, because it's such a busy city.
Yeah.
But when I lived back home, I was the kind of person who just didn't, like, I went to Greece on my own, didn't know anyone. Yeah. Went to Isle of Wight Festival, didn't know, I'd never met anyone in my life, I'd never met the man who runs this, I'd never met Mikey before.
Mm.
So I went to a festival on my own completely. But I was the kind of person, I think I still am now kind of, but more, a bit more anxious now, but I didn't care, like I just wouldn't think it through. I just go with the flow and then get there, like, right?
Suddenly I'm there,
yeah. But yeah, I just threw myself in the deep end, didn't care. Yeah. Only now, since I've been in London a year, now I'm like panicking, like, oh my God, I'm so stressed all the time.
Yeah, I guess the more that you get and the more people know who you are, you do start to feel that pressure anyway, because you have to, you know, keep it going. What about with, is it Road Trip Bar?
Road Trip, yeah.
What about gigs like that? Because one thing that scares me and why I don't think I could be a DJ is like either like drunk or aggressive people that think they're the DJ and don't.
Oh my God, I've got some stories.
But how do you deal with that? Like,
I think every gig you get people, and if you're hungover right from the night before, and you get people leaning in your face, and they've just done a shot of Sambuca, vodka, tequila, and they will breathe in your face and go, "Will you play this song?" And you can just smell their breath. And you're like heaving. That's my worst thing.
Fun.
You get people who constantly request songs, but the worst I've had is talking of International Women's Day yesterday.
Yeah,
I had this weird male DJ who would DJ there himself, and I was behind the decks. I'm in a glass little toddler's. It looks like a toddler creche. I'm in this thing, and he came behind. I call it my little toddler creche because I'm drunk there. Like he came behind the thing into the thing with me, and he was drunk. And he was in a suit and he just looked like a bit of a nonce. He looked a bit of a gimp. He came in and he was like, oh, I DJ you myself. And he was like, you're very pretty, blah, blah, blah. Started trying to chat to me. And I was trying to concentrate and I was like, okay, can you get out? That's nice, but thank you. And I went for a wee 20 minutes later, was walking back to the toilet and he was behind the decks and just changed the song. Mid-track, just changed the song.
What?
And I was like, what are you doing? Like, why isn't the bouncer doing anything? Why is he doing this? I was like, get out, what are you doing? And at the end of my set, he waited for the entire set for me. Waited outside for me. I came up to leave to get my Uber home. And he came up to me and was like, oh, I've waited for you. Let's go back to yours.
Oh my God.
And he was like, come on, we're going. Let's go. And I was like, no. I was like, literally, like, no. And he was like, come on, I can teach you how to DJ properly.
Honestly.
And then I was like, I said to him, I was like, I want to be a presenter anyway. I don't want to be a DJ. I was like, I don't need you to help me. He looked at me and went, you will never, ever be a presenter and you won't be a DJ. I started screaming, like, get him away from me. Get him away from me.
Just the audacity of...
Yeah. But that's one of the worst. One of the worst. But I've had quite a few things like that. But that's the one thing that sticks out to me when he was like, because I wouldn't go back with him because I wouldn't let him come over mine.
Yeah.
That's the one thing. He was like, you will never, ever be a presenter or a proper DJ.
Why and what do you think of that?
Sounds like he's about to get himself on the guest list to get cut.
But he DJs himself, I think.
Oh,
or has done previously once or twice.
It doesn't sound like he does know how to DJ if he's stopping a song.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yes. Maybe he could teach you how to DJ if you're stopping the track. Like,
fucking audacity.
I know.
Well, the thing is, that's one of the things I love about you is your confidence. Like, I'm glad that you stood up for yourself.
I started screaming. I was like,
Well, good. But it's like we said earlier, you don't just talk about doing stuff. Like, this girl will go and she'll do it. One of the best things that, one of my favourite things of yours is, actually, I'll let you tell it. So can you tell everybody about your Reverend and the Makers story? Because that's pretty cool.
Which one, the mega best part or the...
The part where you just tweeted them and then...
It's quite a few...
That situation...
Yeah, so they tweeted saying, this is when I lived back in Wales, they tweeted saying, does anyone have a set list we can use for the thing? Or does anyone want to DJ or something? No, they tweeted, does anyone have a good set list that we can just play before our gig? And I tweeted them and I was like, I'll DJ. And they were like, all right, you can be our tour DJ.
But you just like, oh shit.
Holy shit.
So I was like, oh, at this point I wasn't very good at DJing either, didn't really know how to. So, yeah, they ended up being their tour DJ just from tweeting them saying, I'll DJ for him.
See, if you don't ask, you don't get, man.
Wow, yeah.
That's impressive.
Pretty fucking wild.
And we did, who did they play? Electric Ballroom, I think Manchester Academy. It was packed, absolutely packed.
Ice?
Holy shit.
Yeah, I loved it.
I was like, I did, years and years ago now, when I used to work for Manga, and it was, I think it was Comic-Con, and they just wanted me to go and just be standing on a stall doing something really boring, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to make this work for me so I'm not bored 8 hours a day, and I'm going to make it work for my creative side. So I was like, right, guys, I'm going to go, I'm going to dress up as a character, and I'm going to take a camera crew with me. And they were like, yeah, fine, do it, because it's more coverage for them.
Yeah.
But half the time, if you're going to do some work for somebody that they're trying to do themselves, if you put yourself forward, usually, fingers crossed, you end up in pretty good situations.
What did you dress up as?
Well, she's called Nadia, the Secret of Blue Water. You've probably never seen her because there's only seems to be like one black anime character. Oh. So I didn't have much choice.
I bet that looks super cool though.
Yeah,
I
mean, she's
not wrong.
Cool. But yeah, so on the topic of presenting as well, you've started this new thing with your friend, right?
Yeah, KG Interviews.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So that's another thing that I completely winged one. Completely winged as well. So my dad's friends were Kelly Jones. I've grown up like knowing him kind of thing. And Mikey Johns, who runs this feeling, texted me and he was like, oh, you've done really good at the festivals this year. Do you want guest list at Rise Festival? So I was like, if I got guest lists, I may as well do something creative, like filmed interviews we got backstage. So my dad messaged Kelly and was like, will you do a film interview with Katie? Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, completely, 100%. So I sorted out, we didn't have anything for it though. And I was like, I don't think the festival will let me have press if I don't have a blog or anything.
Okay.
So I asked this feeling, but you've got to be, because they do it with Red Stripe, you've got to be 25 because it's an alcohol thing.
Oh.
Which is quite, you know, a thing. So I couldn't do it for them.
I didn't know about stuff like that.
Yeah, because it's an alcohol thing. You've got to be 25 for over to present for them.
Oh, well, makes sense. But.
So I couldn't do it for anything. So I was like, I'm just going to set my own blog up.
Yeah.
So I set up a Facebook page. And then Mikey got his press, got it backstage, and then as I was backstage, do you know Louis Berry? He's a Liverpool artist. He's really good.
Okay.
Very like soulful music. I've met him at Neighbourhood Festival before, and he did an interview, and then I messaged Jerry Cinnamon to do an interview, and he said, yeah, he will, but I didn't see him. So he's doing one hopefully soon.
Cool.
So yeah, I did Kelly Jones, Louis Berry, and then I just got very drunk, and then I met my boyfriend.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And so, the girl on camera, were you friends before? So it kind of helps both of you?
So it's a bit of a weird story, that one. She's from the same part of Wales as me.
Yeah.
We never met back home. I'd never met her before in my life. And I came home from work one day and she was in my flat with my flatmate, because they're best mates.
Okay.
So I met her and then we became really close. And then it turns out our grandfathers were best friends, grew up together, best friends. Oh, and our dads are mates.
What?
Our grandfathers, I remember this.
That was meant to be.
Yeah. When my grandfather was passing away, there was this random old man in the room, and he was there every day with him. Every day, completely every day, and that was her grandfather.
Wow.
Okay, so I feel like this was definitely.
It's weird, isn't it? It's
happen.
Like fate.
It's 100% fate.
But now we're best mates and we do like our project together.
Yeah.
But we've got family history.
I mean.
It's written in the stars.
Generational best mates.
Yeah. But we met and instantly just clicked. But we're quite, I think we're the kind of people who either clash, because we're both very similar, we either clash
or
click, and we clicked.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so, have you guys got any world domination plans coming up this year? Or that you can talk about or not?
Hopefully. Well, there's quite a few interviews undergo that I can't
disclose
yet. But we did Alan McGee. And then we covered an event yesterday for FemFest 2019,
awesome.
Which is all female artists, but they're from European countries,
mm-hmm.
because it's close to Brexit, coming up to Brexit.
Mm.
So they wanted to show how important it is to musicians to travel and how it's going to kind of take away the freedom.
Mm.
So they're all European artists, all female. Did interviews there for Latest TV, and it's going to be on Brighton News. Then I did an event to Save the Hawley, did interviews there, okay. then four.
Yeah.
So that's all going to be coming up with KG interviews.
There's a lot of stuff, man.
Yeah. On a lack of sleep from the rat. I look awful in the videos. I'm completely, like, drained.
And so you're doing all this, but then you've still got your Boogaloo show.
Yeah.
I mean, with that, with or without rats, do you ever wake up and feel, like, too knackered or too anxious or not in the mood? Because it's a difficult one if you've got confirmed guests and it's live radio.
When I used to work in Fred Perry in the days, so I DJ'd till 4 a.m. I'd go to the workhouse and I'd have work 10 o'clock the next day. And I'd never had a panic attack in my life. And I had a really bad panic attack in work randomly because I was so drained. And I had to cancel the show then in the night and I had to cancel my guest. But Jen was completely fine about it. You need to look after yourself. But because I was working in the shop in the days and DJing and doing all this, losing out on sleep, I just had a panic attack randomly. And I'd never had one before. And I was like, oh my God, what's going on? Mm-hmm. It was horrible. But yeah, I had to cancel the show in the night, which I was gutted about. And I was like,
yeah,
a bit frustrated.
I do think that creatives sometimes do try and push themselves too far because it feels like if you're not always doing something in your spare time, then you're
get quite angry,
wasting time and you're not.
I'm like that.
But you, without the rest, then you can't like re-energise and do it the best that you can.
Yeah.
And then you end up in those sorts of situations or like in really low spaces.
Yeah.
Because it kind of feels like the clock's ticking constantly. And time's running out.
Yeah.
And
you're not
getting any younger. And it's just like, fuck.
And especially London, you're always like, oh my God, this, I've got a thing. There's so many people that blah, 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 I've got to keep.
Yeah.
But I don't work there anymore because I was like, it's too much for me to handle. I was having panic attacks all the time. My hands were just constantly shaking. I was like, I can't cope with DJing till 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And then getting up at 9 o'clock, getting up at 8 o'clock. So I'd have like 3 hours sleep.
Wait, I don't. Jesus that's like, Christ. That's not actually healthy.
No.
Your body's got to have like a certain amount of hours.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've got free time now, more free time to do stuff. And
that's great.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't be here right now if I was working there. Cause I'd be
in
the shop.
You do seem, like, more energetic as well.
Yeah, I was quite, like, depressed. I was quite, like, down and just constantly drained. But now I'm not there. I feel more energetic and just by myself again.
Good. So it makes me happy.
Thank you.
In regards to doing lots of work and feeling the stress of London and lots of people in the similar game, so presenting's tough. Like, for example, three of us on this table are presenters. That's how many of us. But I mean, how do you keep upbeat and focused when there's so many other people?
I just think you can't, like, there's a lot of people I've got on social media who do presenting and stuff, and you can't compare yourself to people because you will bring yourself down.
Yeah.
So you've got to go at your own pace and just don't compare yourself, and I suppose if you enjoy it as well, you just think you enjoy it as what you love.
Yeah.
And then kind of push yourself that way.
Yeah. I mean, with the comparison thing as well, you've got to remember that you are the best thing. Like, nobody else is you.
There's only one of you in the world.
Yeah, exactly. So you've always got to remember that you need to be unique in yourself, but naturally, not pushing it, not trying to be cool or I'm slightly odd, hey look at me, but yeah, the internet does show everybody basically, but it's kind of a good thing in presenter wise because there are more opportunities now because, you know, all these companies need people doing interviews on their Snapchats, on their Instagrams, Twitter. It's not just one funnel to the BBC or ITV. So it has opened up for more people. Do you think it boosts the success a lot more for presenters now?
Because of social media?
Yeah. Well, it depends how you rate success, but
yeah, I think so. But I was thinking that the other day you've got presenters like Emma Willis, is it?
Yeah.
And then the ones who did like Top of the Pops and came through the 90s.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know, maybe it was not easier, but it was, I don't know, it's harder now, I think, maybe.
Ah, okay.
To get, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I think it goes both ways.
Yeah. Because
there's a lot more people out there, so there's a lot more for the big dogs to be looking at or whatever.
Mm.
But you can create your own content and put it there for everybody to see.
And you can hashtag like and then people can see it.
Exactly. So people can find you. You don't have to, like, queue up and do so many auditions and things like that. But yeah,
I think I just want to stuck in the 90s. I want to go. Yeah. I want to be in the 90s. I want to do Top of the Pops.
Yeah, me too. That would be so cool. SMTV Live.
Yeah,
that would be so fun. Do you have a dream artist that you'd like to interview?
Oh God, so Lady Gaga.
Oh, she'd be good.
Obsessed. I love Lady Gaga. She's one of my idols.
Didn't you used to dress up as her?
On my old Facebook account, I got a full fringe cut in school. I did bleach blonde. And my profile picture, I did that thing on my hand. Like, do you know she does in the album?
Oh.
And I drew the thing on my face. And people were like, oh, you look like Lady Gaga in school. And I'd be like, thank you. I loved her, I was obsessed. So I'd love to interview her.
Mm.
Noel Fielding, I think, would be interesting.
Yeah.
Russell Brand.
Oh my God, if you could get a word in edgeways.
Yeah. I think they'd probably be quite sassy to interview. Do you know Diane Twood?
Can you imagine
just the chaos of her interview? They'd probably be quite like witty and quick with you and like, do you know, sarcastic kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I imagine it'd be quite a mental interview and they'd be very interested people to.
Yeah.
And her outfit as well. And they like rats, so they can come in my bedroom. There's always rats in the music video, so they can come in my bedroom and do the interview there.
Cool.
My Lady Gaga, that's the dream, to interview her.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I love the fact that she's like a megastar, but she still seems very... She just seems like a nice person.
Yeah.
Down to earth and just quite level-headed.
Yeah.
Not you Mariah Carey's and et cetera, et cetera.
Quite a diva, yeah.
Yeah. And do you have any advice for anyone wanting to get into the presenter or the DJ game?
I think just throw yourself in, like I did. I know it's quite scary, but if you just throw yourself in and do it, and don't think too much, just do it, and then, just get stuck in kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't go to Isle of Wight, I probably wouldn't be in London right now. I wouldn't have moved.
Okay.
So just any chances, just do them.
Get your hands dirty.
Yeah. Don't be scared, just do it.
Do it. Cool. Yeah. Guess what, Wayne?
Yeah, what?
We have had another question sent in by a listener.
Jesus Christ.
So, Katie, you can help with this.
Okay.
My God.
They want to know, and they wanted to stay anonymous, which is fair enough.
Anonymous, Jesus.
Can they hear the podcast now?
No.
All right.
we ain't live, don't worry. We ain't live.
How do you deal with being a manager to an incompetent man baby without support from your own manager? Now, for the people listening and they don't know what the term man child means, Urban Dictionary says a fully grown man that by appearances looks normal. However, once you get to know him, you realise he's just a big baby trapped in a man's body. So, what should she do?
So she's a manager to a person.
Is he an artist? Or do we mean like...
I think she's in an office space.
An office space.
And she has to manage him, but he's just a nightmare.
Well.
And her manager's not helping her, so what should she do?
Well, someone who works in an office, I feel like I'm uniquely experienced in this. But yeah, I mean... That kind of sucks, to be honest with you. It's a bit of a hard one, especially if a manager's not helping her out. I mean,
I mean, if it's affecting your mental health,
yeah.
I would...
You got to put your chips on the table, because at the end of the day, if you're doing hard work and you're someone who's valued in that office and you are, you're one of the best there, and not even if you're not one of the best there, if you work hard, then you have to let your manager know that, listen, unless something changes here, I'm out the fucking door.
Yeah, and
then she said she's spoken to management above her.
She said that they're just not helping.
They're not helping, so she has tried.
Well, take it higher.
Yeah, take it higher.
Yeah, yeah.
Get HR examples.
Maybe.
And then you know what? Because then he'll get pulled into a meeting and he'll probably stop being a man child because he'll be so embarrassed that senior have seen him like this.
I don't know, because I do something real fucking spiteful. So I'll be taking so many interviews and I was like, listen, I've got some interviews lined up, so start no change.
An anonymous email to HR.
Straight.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just start leaving like dummies around and rattles just to try and leave the mark. It's a man child.
Yeah,
but it's a tough one.
Yeah, no, it's tough because you gotta be sort of like, I don't know. I feel for a man because it's very much in, especially in that office environment where it's like, I don't know. Funnily enough, like now I've worked in an office for like almost 2 years. It's weird how much it reminds me of high school.
Oh, okay.
Because it's just very... You think in high school that it's not going to be like this in the real world, especially working in an office, but it's very...
Childish.
Clicky sometimes. Yeah.
Oh, it's so clicky.
And it's very much like, if you say something bad about this person, you could be in the crosshairs of someone else.
Yeah.
Who may be a bit higher up than that person and stuff like that. Or like, there might be someone, they might be called a bunch of people who were in the ear of someone who's higher up than this person. And it's a bit of a nightmare. So it's very much one of those, you have to be careful, but don't take it laying down. Like, yeah. You have to sort of be proactive about it. And, like, what she says really... going anonymous is a really good route, actually, to sort of HR and stuff like that. But you've got to take it further if your managers ain't helping you.
Yeah, especially if it's making you unhappy, because then you're not going to do your job properly.
Yeah, you dread going to work every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Oh, I hope that's helped slightly. Let us know how you get on, Anon. That's all for today. So, thank you so much, Katie.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it.
And thank you, Wayne, as always.
Thank you.
Make sure you follow our Insta if you're not already. And we will see you next time. Yep. Lots of love. Bye.
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 Can you stop? Remember I told you that I have an anxiety issue?